And for that I have obviously thought what I would say to you. Something which I cannot say during the japa retreats, because I will be traveling to Mumbai due to Krishna's plan. So what I have to say today is something which I consider of great importance, something which I really want to share with you. It is a need for me, because I care for you and I love you, to share this with you. In the kingdom of Radha, we like to think a little bit about the special mercy which is available from Srimati Radharani. After the rasa dance was performed, before the rasa dance, Krishna had just called all the gopis from the Vanshivata tree at the bank of the Yamuna, and they had all come. They had left everything behind to be with Krishna, whom they considered their all and everything. But then Krishna had disappeared. They had searched for Krishna. On their search, they had found Srimati Radharani, who looked like a lightning which had fallen on the floor of Braj. And in fact, this is a good analogy. When a lightning leaves the siam-colored rain cloud, then it falls on the floor. So Srimati Radharani Krishna had left Srimati Radharani, and she looked like a lightning which had just fallen from the sky onto the earth of Braj. Finally, Krishna reappeared. He looked at Radha, and he could see how much pain he had inflicted upon her. He had explained himself why he sometimes disappears from his devotees. He said, I did not disappear to make you broken-hearted. I disappeared to make your longing for me even greater. This is why Krishna is sometimes absent, Dayalitai. He is not absent to make you cry. He, in a way, yes, he wants you to long more for him, to yearn more for him. That is his psychology, his psychotherapy. He's sometimes disappearing to increase our longing. So, but still Krishna felt a little guilty. He had a guilty smile when he appeared. And then he said to Radha, Radha, I'm prepared to give you any blessing which you asked for. Then Radharani asked for a blessing. And I pray to this blessing every day. Radharani asked not for herself, but Radharani asked for all of us. She said, my dear Lord Syam, I wish that any devotee who comes to the forest of Vrindavan in search of you will never be disappointed. She had just been more than disappointed. And she wanted that this should not repeat itself. Any devotee who comes to Vrindavan searching for you, I know many people come nowadays to Vrindavan not searching for Krishna but for social adventure. But anyone who comes to search for Krishna should never be disappointed. They should find Krishna. And Krishna answered with only two words, Tatastu. May this be so. He agreed. He agreed that on the strength of Radharani's request, our search will be complete in Vrindavan, in the forest of Vrindavan. Isn't that wonderful? If you get this into your heart, to at least here search for Krishna, don't come for any other reason. Keep Vrindavan sacred. Don't make it mundane, please. Search for Krishna. Then you will find Krishna. Radhe, Radhe. This is the blessing of Krishna to Radharani for all of us. That's why we always are very grateful in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada says, here in Vrindavan, the devotees address Radha first, then Krishna. They greet each other with Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. By Radharani's mercy it is possible. Now I would like to speak a little bit on the search for Krishna in Vrindavan, from talking a little bit from my own search for Krishna in Vrindavan. And I hope to give you a few inspirations after this vrata has ended for me. I must say it was a vrata like never before, in the sense that I had never stayed in Varshana before to do a vrata. I had only stayed outside of Varshana, in the villages of the gopis and especially Uchagaon, where there is Radharani's first and foremost friend, Lalita Sakhi. I even got a garland today of Lalita Sakhi. I don't think it's a coincidence. And I had stayed a little bit far away from the palace of Maheshwari, of our Vrindavaneshwari, the controlless, the mistress of Krishna and of Vrindavan. Finally, after many, many years, staying in Radha Kund, which is also very much a very, very high place, I dared to go to the palace of Radha Vashana Dham and stayed at a mountaintop called Mangar as a guest of Ramesh Baba, who is out with 10,000 bridge basis on a Braj Mandal Parikrama for 40 days. And it was very, very peaceful in Man Mandir. I forbade any devotee to see me, because I really needed the time to be in my one relationship. I tried to put everything I had into my search for Radha and Krishna. The way we can search in this world for the mercy of Radha and Krishna is to look for their most merciful forms, the holy names. So I chanted from morning till evening some extra rounds. And I'm not a good chanter, but I learned how to cry in the chanting. Because you're staying there alone and the parrots are there. Everything is so ideal, but your heart is like a desert. My experience is that the first rounds, 16 rounds or so, they are more or less, the mind is not yet willing to let Krishna in, because the mind is a mechanism to avoid Krishna. I don't know if you have noticed this. So when the nectar of the holy name comes, please give me a bottle of water. I will make it very sure that you understand. It's something like this. It goes to the mind, but the mind doesn't want to absorb it. See how quickly it goes away. No. Then you continue to chant. Goes inside, but only something very small. Then you begin to think, my God, I'm chanting. This is supposed to bring love of God, but I remember only my childhood and the movies of Dracula, which I saw at that time. And you continue to chant. And as you continue to chant, the mind all of a sudden soaks in the nectar of the holy name. The mind becomes pervaded with Krishna. And all of a sudden, you all of a sudden notice, now you don't remember the movies which you saw in your childhood or in your ISKCON time. You remember all of a sudden, oh, I heard something about Krishna. What was it? Krishna is very merciful. You begin to think about his qualities. Then you remember some pictures which you saw of Krishna. And some pastimes you heard about, and all of a sudden you become drenched in the holy name. You drown in the ocean of the holy name. You are very, very much absorbed in the holy name. And the way that feels is that you feel I'm in the presence of Radha and Krishna. I'm with them. They are just there. And then you feel, I hope I never leave. The next morning you wake up, you chant, I won't do this again for you. And you notice the mind is not cooperative. And then you ask the question, why? Why can't I be with Krishna? Why am I so stubborn? Why is all this material nonsense so much in my mind? You ask this question. What is wrong with me? And what is wrong with you is something very serious. You have been in the material world for many, many millions of lifetimes. And you have been active in the material world. Active in separated sense gratification, and as a result, deep sanskaras have formed in your heart. Sanskaras are impressions which condition you. You could also say they are vasanas. Vasanas means desires, which happen automatically to you. When I was in Govardhan 2 weeks ago, I saw a Western sadhu. He, a Western devotee, he had a beard, a fashionable beard, and he went to the barber to let the beard shave off. I have seen this devotee many times. He was always very humble, very humble, very humble. And I thought, what an advanced soul. So I went by this barber shop. He was just finished, and the Baba wanted Barba, shaving man. Apparently, he wanted more money, like they always want. And this devotee, whom I knew from America, devotee, Mr. Humbleness, I always called him, with great honor, exploded and made such a scene in the barber shop. Afterwards, I called him and asked him, I thought you are so humble, but you just shouted at the Baba. Yet these are impossible bridge passes. And I looked at him and I said, I thought you were impossible today. You screamed at a normal reaction. They always want more money. It's like a monkey who wants some more bananas. It's normal. You no need to become angry. It's natural. I think you need to be more honest with yourself. Deep inside of you, you have a lot of anger, and you have only put a humble show above it. But your sanskaras are driving you to be angry. I saw something similar in my case. I was on my way to Tonga, from Tongavitya Sakhi's village to Rakholi. Is someone telephoning outside? No? I hear someone is talking. No?
Translate.
Yes, you can of course talk, but why talk so loud? You can there's so much space to talk loudly, but at a different place. So I had just passed through a house. By a house, I was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Then I looked inside the house and I saw a beautiful Braj lady, a Braj beauty, taking a shower. And for just the fraction of a second, my mind was going there and appreciating, what a beautiful Braj beauty. The next moment I thought, my God, what was that? I don't think I'm extremely lusty, at least I don't think about these things. And I'm just chanting. Why all of a sudden this? Then I noted, this was not coming from the conscious mind. It was just like this Mr. Humbleness coming from the deeply ingrained sanskaras, the deep things which drive us despite our endeavors to put a devotee attitude above it. We have these very deep material conditionings. Therefore, according to Rupa Goswami, we are just practicing bhakti. We are not full of bhakti at the moment. Not even if we proclaim, I'm so rasika, so extremely rasika. It's these sanskaras, these deep things, which build our personality. Despite of our show. So how is it possible then to ever become Krishna conscious? In my search at the Vrata, I was sincerely confronting this subject. I was no longer willing to just conveniently ignore it. And just I am a sannyasi, yes, I am a very advanced person, yes, I am chanting, yes, I am chanting more than 16 rounds today, yes, I've written many books, yes, even the Brijbasis bow down to me, very good, and the Babas tell me I'm the true thing, yes, they are so correct. I was no longer prepared to ignore the actual subject. How pure is the heart, really? I don't think it is wise to ignore this and to make a show and to live a lie. I think it is important to look and to see and find an answer. How will we ever change the heart? How will Krishna come in the heart? Krishna only comes in the pure heart, no? He doesn't come when there are so many other things. Not even a normal guest comes when you have so much furniture in your house that there's no place to sit down or lie down. How will Krishna come with a heart which is full of conditionings from millions of lives? My dear devotees, there are many, many answers. But here, I would like to really say that Krishna is prepared to come. Once a devotee is no longer willing to play the lie, and he sincerely prays to Krishna to come into his heart and to take away these vasanas and sanskaras, Krishna is prepared to give his very special blessings. The ultimate achievement of the human form of life is to become free from these, I will now use a strong word, foreign desires. They are not our own. They are foreign desires. Because if you don't have these sanskaras any longer, if you don't have these desires, your material life stops. It's finished. You will not take another birth. You will not go on in material consciousness any longer. There is nothing which connects you any longer to the material energy. The desires are gone. So if Krishna shows someone his very special mercy, he is prepared to come in a special form into the heart of the devotee. And I will talk about this special form in a moment. And take away these vasanas. We can't do this on our own. We are just not strong enough. We are not strong enough. We are too weak to take out these material desires. It doesn't work. They are too strong. They are too deeply ingrained. And so on. When Krishna shows you his special form, mercy, he comes. And there's a verse in the fifth canto. Our Bhagavatam Volas will know this shloka. As I, to my knowledge, in the 19th chapter, but Narayani will be able to tell us maybe better. Then my devotee, they pray to me, and for the fulfillment of desires, and I do fulfill these desires, but in such a way that at the end the devotee will only desire me. No? Something like this. Krishna, when you sincerely pray to him, my Krishna, please come to my life, please come into my heart. He will come, and if he gives you his special mercy, he will just take these desires away from you. Yes, yam anugrinami harishyatadhanam shanai. He will take what keeps you away from him. And he will make your path to him very clear. That's his special mercy. But you can't be a distracted, modern, superficial show devotee if you want this. You won't also pray for this. It's intense. It's because Krishna might take some special therapy. He might even send you some illness so that you become detached from the material world. He will use everything. A little while ago there was the devotees told me, a cholera, just for 10 days, cholera epidemic in Ramesh Baba's Parikrama. I don't believe it's cholera. Everyone just went to the fields, in other words. I think you know what this means. And didn't come back after 1 hour. It was really intense, you know. It didn't stop. And the doctors didn't know how to catch hold of this spreading epidemic. You know, this was a serious disease. And so they came to Ramesh Baba, who's a nice devotee, and asked him, Baba, you are strong enough to stop this epidemic. We can just give up this whole parikrama if this goes on, because everyone will become deadly sick. And he said, why should it stop? Krishna is all auspicious. Whatever he sends is good. This is good to detach us from the material world. Let's do kirtan. And he did what he always did. He took full shelter at the holy name, 3 hours kirtan. Afterwards, it started to slowly stop. You know, the sounds became less trumpet-like from the field. You know, and it slowly began to stop. And after 4 days, it really began to stop, you know. It was serious. If Krishna sends Krishna will send you something if you pray, which he thinks is necessary to make you more detached from the material world and take more shelter at his lotus feet. Whatever Krishna sends is very, very good. Therefore, although I totally, it was intense. I had an experience of pain like I never had before in my life in that time. And although I really feel very, you know how much I like to preach. I will preach even when I'm half dead. You know this, but I just have to go. I will not ask Krishna to take this away from me, because he sent it. It is his mercy. It is good. Because I have started to pray, my dear Krishna, please take me. Please just stamp out these things which connect me to this illusory dream, this nightmare of material existence. Yeah. Then the things start coming. And it's good. Now the way Krishna comes is usually first with his lotus feet. Notice the word lotus. The lotus has 5 qualities. It's very soft. It smells very fragrant. It is beautiful to see. You can eat it, apparently, part of it at least. And yes, there is a beautiful sound around the lotus. The bees are there. They are around the lotus. And Krishna's feet are also very soft, very beautiful to be seen. And amongst all the qualities which I want to say is, they sound very nice when they come to the devotees. Bilva Mangala Thakur writes in Krishna Kanamrita, it's a beautiful poem, as some of you know. He's on his way to Vrindavan after leaving his old life behind, and he comes into the approaches the forest of Vrindavan. There are few associates around him, and he's so blissful that he will see the forest of Vrindavan that he sings out beautiful verses in the mood of a servant of Srimati Radharani who longs for Krishna to appear to be with Radharani. This is how Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the poems in his tikas, in his purports. And then there is this one shloka, it's so beautiful. It goes that may I hear the tinkling of the anchor bells of your lotus feet, which announce the arrival of you in the kunj of my Srimati Radharani. May I hear as you come down the forest path searching for Srimati Radharani. May I hear this? When we in Vaishnav language speak about taking shelter of Krishna, we usually speak of taking shelter of his lotus feet. Have you heard this? We should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And when we say we should meditate about Krishna, we say we should meditate about the lotus feet of Krishna. And there's a reason, because Krishna's lotus feet, when they come into your heart, are very powerful to help you get away with these contaminations which I have mentioned. I have taken some notes here of the signs on Krishna's right foot. There is the discus, can you see it? There's the lotus flower, there's a victory flag, there's an umbrella, there is a staff which is used to control an elephant, and all these things, these symbols, will do something in the heart of the devotee. When a devotee begins to meditate about the lotus feet of Krishna, hoping for Krishna's lotus feet to arrive in his life, Krishna will become active. What it means is the discourse will destroy the lust and other inauspicious things in the heart of the devotee who surrendered. In other words, Krishna, not you, will help you by his discourse. Bam! When you think of Krishna, then you will not think of these old things, Dayanitai. They go away. The lotus, it means, I've written it down, by the lotus, he captivates the heart of the devotee. When you think, in other words, let us make it simple for the simple. Some of you start looking, what is this? Who? Can't understand anything. Think of Krishna, and then Krishna will help you. Very easy for the simple ones amongst you. Below the lotus, what do we have here? Is a victory flag, which announces Krishna's victory over the conditioning of the material things. And then there is the thunderbolt somewhere here. Yes, this means the mountain of sin which we carry around. We all carry heavy mountains. That's why some of us look so tired and frustrated in life. Heavy mountains of sinful reactions. Hare Krishna, forgetting Krishna. When you think of Krishna, it gets destroyed. And so on. I won't tell you all the symbols. I also don't know them all. But what I want to express is something which I talked about with this very nice Ramesh Baba, I told him, oh Baba Maharaj, I saw this in Govardhan, this devotee, Mr. Humble, just blowing up with anger. I saw in my own heart sanskaras, and I'm asking myself, how will I ever become a devotee with such sanskaras? What is your experience? And he told me, you can't do it alone. We are too weak. But you have to pray to Krishna that he comes into your heart. And what that means, that Krishna comes to your heart, let's talk again for us simple people. It means that you remember Krishna, that you think of Krishna, that you hear about him, why do you think there are so many Vaishnava books? Why do you think there are so many prayers? That they are all meant that you can think of Krishna instead of thinking so many other things. And as you think of Krishna, you will see Krishna comes into your heart with these lotus, with these feet. Huh? He will first come a little in your heart, like the feet are a little. Little, you see the feet, just the feet. Where's the rest of the person? Feet, just feet. No, stay with the feet. Be happy with the feet. Little Krishna is already enough. Little thinking of Krishna is enough. Chanting of Krishna's name and sometimes being with Krishna is enough. And you will see it goes out of the heart. Not by your own power, but by Krishna's power. And that's why I gave you a description of my chanting experience. When you chant, it's not your power which works. It's Krishna who you invite in your heart. And then he becomes active. Otherwise, no chance. You can pretend to the whole world. Good devotees won't believe you and Krishna won't believe you. You may even believe your own lie, because we like to believe our own lies, but it won't work in reality. You have to think of Krishna. Krishna smarana, nam smaranam. This is very, very important. Then you can become a different person. You need to absorb yourself. There needs to be Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Rakshaman, everywhere in your mind and in your heart. And then these things will go out by the influence of these powerful effects of Krishna. There's a simple verse in the Bhagavatam, which some of you know. It's in this famous series of five verses, Narayana. Is it the Srimatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam? Hridyantasto yabhadrani vidanoti suritsatam. In your presence, Narayani, I can even remember verses, although I'm so foolish. It is Narayani's just powerful glance on me. That means you hear about Krishna, then Krishna, who is the well-wishing friend of everyone, comes in your heart and drives away the inauspiciousness which is there. And then Krishna, by Krishna's help, you will be a changed person. But you must make this a program. You must make this a program to chant, to hear Krishna. And you come to the holy Dham. Keep Vrindavan sacred. Just chant and hear about Krishna. Just go where there are good devotees, or go where there are, but don't stay where there is the same thing which is in your heart already. Go where there's some new vibration, spiritual vibration, Krishna vibration. And then let Krishna come into your heart and take these abhadranis away. Krishna is prepared for this. Krishna can, when Krishna's lotus feet come in the heart, your heart will become soft. He went with his lotus feet all over Braj, over the heavy stones in Giriraj, and they melted like butter. Vroom. Krishna can make your heart also melt. There's a verse in Padyavali. It's very good for the devotee who calls out for Krishna in Vrindavan, searching for him. It says, when Gajendra, the king of the elephant, called for the help of the Lord, Krishna was immediately ready to rush to his devotee and protect him. He did not consider to take the help of the general of his army. You know, the general of the army saw the Lord Vishnu, rushing to the help of his devotee and said, do you need any help? I'm here with my whole army. No, I'm going personally, said the Lord. He wanted to personally help. He was in such a hurry that he did not spend the few seconds to take his gem-studded sandals. You know, usually when a person goes out to fight, he will dress with proper sandals, you know, that he has a good hold on the ground. But he was in such a hurry, the Lord, to rush to the help of his devotees, that he didn't even spend a few seconds to dress in his gem-studded sandals. He even forgot his umbrella, you know, against the hot sun. As soon as the Lord heard the prayer of his devotee, he immediately climbed atop Garuda's shoulders. He only had one question: who has called for me? I should go to him immediately. We pay our most humble obeisances to the haste. Haste means breezing, or haste. Haste means something else. The haste shown by Lord Hari to save his devotee. Krishna is so much ready to help his devotee, to come to his heart, and to take away these conditions which bind the devotee to the material energy. He shows great haste. You understand this word haste? If you call for him. Vrindavan is the place for calling. It's the place of the callers. And I would like to end my little discussion with a story from Gopal Champu, which is just so moving, and which shows you a little bit of what I was trying with my very nasty and ugly words to tell to you. You know, when the young beautiful gopis of Vrindavan turned from their Kumara age into the Puganda age, that's when they came from 5 years of age into 6 years of age, all of a sudden their beauty manifested. And their parents thought, see, these gopis look more beautiful than the goddesses of fortune. We must get them married, because otherwise Kamsa will hear about them and will want to marry them. Beautiful gopi. And they thought, we only want them to be married to Krishna. Now Gaga Rishi, who was there at the birthday name-giving ceremony of Lord Krishna, understood in his mind what the Brijbasis were thinking, to marry their girl, their young unmarried girls who had a splendor, who had eyes which extended to the ears. You could not imagine such beauty, and they were all mesmerized. How is this possible? every part of the limbs of the gopis, but the perfection of all beauty. So Gaga Rishi said to himself, we, the servants of Lord Hari, sometimes don't understand the pastimes, but we try to serve his pastimes, and I just feel in my heart that this cannot happen, that the gopis marry Krishna, because this is counterproductive to the highest of all rasas, which is the Paramur Rasa. Jiva Goswami quotes in his Gopachampur, it will be said in Ujjvala Nilamoni, the great souls do not wish to praise any other woman but the lotus-eyed girls of Gokul, who descended to this world to enjoy nectar pastimes with Sri Krishna, the crown of all rasikas. So it had to be a very special type of love, the love which is risky, where everything else will be overcome, even the social conventions which bind a woman to the marriage vows to her husband. So this highest love, that where the lover is prepared to give everything, even the shame of doing something immoral, in order to please Krishna, is the highest type of love, which will be enjoyed by Lord Krishna. So Gaga Rishi understood this, and he went to Purnamasi and said, these Brijbasi parents think of marrying all their girls to Krishna, but this is not the leela of Krishna. You do something. And then he went to Nanda Maharaj and said, soon the Brijbasis will come with marriage proposals. You have to say no. Krishna cannot marry any one of them. This is my instruction. I am the priest of the Yadavas, and you are linked to this dynasty. So Purnamasi came into Braj and held a gathering. I know what is in your mind, she said, but the gopis shall be married. It's better to marry them to cowherd boys who are cowherd men who are qualified. So next morning, just totally alone, every Brijbasi cowherd man and said, Nanda Maharaj, I have this very excellent, beautiful girl. She is approaching marriageable age, and we thought the most qualified is Krishna. If you agree, just say yes. Nanda Maharaj's face became pale. He remembered what Gaga Rishi had said the day before, and he said no. His heart wanted to say yes, but his lips said no. Gaga Rishi had said, it cannot be. Look for qualified cowherd boys, not with my Lala. He's also, my Lala is very restless, and maybe he will not be such a good husband. So the whole day, for weeks on end, every day, I need to speak to you alone, said one cowherd boy. Then they said, Purnamasi also said the same thing, and we should actually follow her. They were all married, not to Krishna. At that time, a beautiful goddess appeared in the forests of Vrindavan. She always stayed in the forest. The Brijbasis didn't know who she was because she had such a splendor, but she looked powerful enough to take care of all the forest. Was she a demigoddess or a human being? She just lived somewhere in the forest. And she announced herself as Vrindarika. The cowherd man said that Vrinda is shorter. Vrinda. Vrinda Devi one day came to to Purnamasi and said, "Have you heard? Krishna's eternal gopis are married to the cowherd men." Purnamasi said, "It will never happen, it has never happened, and it will not happen." "But I have heard," said Vrinda Devi. "This is only a dream which you have heard, yeah. Only an illusion, only by magic." But no one understood. Now you must know, the day approached where the gopis had to leave their house and go to the houses of their husbands, right? Mm-hmm. And the parents delayed it by 1 year because the gopis were sitting in a room and chanting Krishna. The parents said, "These gopis are so beautiful, we can't show them to the world. They are just so absolutely effulgent." This cannot happen. Oh Gopinath, oh deep voice, we have entered your rooms. You please take this. Is Gopinath Prabhu and his friend. Ah, yes, I do remember your blissful face. Please, we will also leave one day. Haribo Gopinath, nice to see you. So the gopis had been in the room because the parents were afraid. They look so beautiful. If anyone sees them, and Kamsa will hear about it and will also kidnap them. And there was only one memorable exception. It was when an old man ran into the village of Braj and said, our Krishna is in the coils of a dangerous snake, Kaliya. He is." And then he fainted. So everyone, including these beautiful gopis, ran out of their houses and came to the banks of the river Jamuna, and there Krishna was pretending to be in the coils of Kaliya. Then Bala and all the Brijbasis saw, "No, Krishna," and they started to faint. And Balaram said, it's enough, now Krishna, your own people are dying. Do something." So Krishna expanded himself, came out of the coils of Kaliya, jumped on the how many heads of Kaliya? Many heads, thousands of heads, and used them as dancing platforms, and played his flute as he was dancing, and played with his anchor belts, runu runu, shunu shunu, and used this as dancing platforms. I remember we had once a concert with the Gauranga Bhajan group, and we had different electrical stages which went up and down. And I was at that time in charge of dancing on the stage. So I said, "You just make them up and down and I will dance from one stage to the..." "Don't worry, when I get wild I can do it." And then we started the kirtan, and we got the audience chanting, and then this stage was, I never forget this, was all of a sudden, and I went like... Then the other stage came here. Then I almost missed it, but I got it and was dancing. But Krishna used all the heads of the angry hissing snake and danced his mesmerizing dance, and the gopis were just standing and just falling in love with Krishna, seeing him in his beautiful dancing pastime, and feasting their eyes on their beloved Lord. And that night, the Brijbasis, when Kaliya was finally chastised and sent away. The Brijbasis all decided, it's too late, let's all sleep in the forest together with our Krishna. Let us spend the night and be happy with our Lala, with our Krishna. They all stayed, and during that time the young gopis met with Krishna and told them their heart's desire. But afterwards they had to go home, and every day their parents said to them, in a few months you will have to go to your husband's home. The parents reasoned, just if you give a little poison every day to someone, at the end of some time he will be resistant against the poison and he will be able to swallow a whole cup. That means going to the parents' house and not die. Going to the husband's house and not die. That was their reason. The day came and each gopi went, but they didn't go to the husband's house. These beautiful, beautiful, splendorous personalities went through the forest of Vrindavan, and all of them came at one spot to the river Jamuna, all veiled, all crying. They asked themselves, why are you crying? And who are you? What is your name? From which village are you coming? And they introduced themselves. And like women, when they come together and their hearts are stirred, they are not shy. They talk what is in their heart. Isn't it? There's a more confidence. So they said, and finally they all said, we want to marry Krishna, but we are married to someone else. And then they cried. Then one of them, who became the natural leader from that day of everyone, said, this cannot be. We will be together with Krishna. Come, young, innocent gopis. And they all heard this beautiful gopis. Her name was Radha. Radha, because she was born when the Anuradha star was very close to the moon. Krishna is the moon. Krishna Chandra, you have heard? Vrindavan Chandra. So that star Anuradha was very close. And because of that constellation, she who was born 1 year later was called Radha. And she went with all the gopis to the banks of the Yamuna and said, Yamunaji, we speak one mantra. May in our next life, may Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai accept us in their household as the daughter, as the wives of Krishna. And then all the gopis went into the Jamuna to take their life, to commit suicide. Everyone, millions of the most beautiful, splendorous, more beautiful than Lakshmi, entered the Jamuna. At that moment, a voice came from the demigods, oh gopis who do not know the real arrangements of Purnamasi, you are not married to anyone else. You will be with Krishna. But the gopis continued to walk. At that moment, a most beautiful goddess came out of the water. It was Yamuna Devi, garlanded with lotus flowers. And she expanded into as many forms as there were gopis and took each one of the gopis out of the Jamuna water and carried them to a tamal tree. Each one was lying under a tamal tree. Do you know what the tamal tree stands for? Krishna, because he's black like the tamal tree. And at that time, Purnamasi ran out of the forest, followed by Vrinda Devi and Madhu Mangal, and said, "Gopis, gopis, don't do this. Your desire to be with Krishna, to dance with Krishna, to meet Krishna will be fulfilled, because wherever there's Vrindavan, wherever there's Yamuna, and wherever there is Purnamasi, all the desires of the devotees can be fulfilled. You are in a place where there's Yamuna, you are in a place where there's Vrindavan, and Yoga Maya is also there. If you want to be in Maya, she turns also into Mahamaya for you, that you are totally in Mahamaya. I have seen it happens. But if you don't want to be in Mahamaya, Yoga Maya will be there drawing you to Krishna. Then all your desires will be fulfilled. So the gopis went up, they looked at Purnamasi, Vrinda Devi, Yamuna Devi, and all of these powerful goddesses receded, and happy and with faith in their heart, they went to their parents' homes, stayed a little longer. And as we know, yet meanwhile Krishna was sitting alone in the forest, was in a very intense mood. When he was with his friends, when the friends said something joking, Krishna started to cry. But when there was sad news, Krishna laughed. Finally, the friends noticed, "Krishna, you are somewhere else with your mind." But Krishna kept his love for the gopis hidden, whom he had seen during the Kaliya Damana Leela and elsewise. But when Krishna heard from Madhu Mangal that the gopis were entering the river Yamuna to not be with the other husbands but to be with him, Krishna cried. When Krishna heard about the love of Radharani, who had said, "Beautiful gopis, and we will enter the Yamuna and we will think of Nanda's son, and then in our next life we will be with Nanda's son, because whatever you think of at the time, that you will become." Krishna just was in so much ecstasy. And Krishna in his heart made a decision to satisfy the desires of all the gopis. He asked Madhu Mangal, this you all heard with your ears and you saw with your eyes? Madhu Mangal said, "Yes." And in this way, Krishna decided to satisfy the gopis' desire. This is a little bit from Gopal Champu about what I personally think is necessary to become Krishna conscious. You need to absorb your mind a little bit more in Krishna so that you begin to allow yourselves to be attracted to Krishna. Our biggest problem is we are not allowing ourselves to be attracted to Krishna. We just don't create the circumstances. We talk all kinds of things. Imagine we would put a loudspeaker on your mind, Dayal Gauranga, and then it would be heard the whole day. People would think, you know, we could get a real loud, I mean you are actually very saintly, but if someone would put a loudspeaker on my mind, someone would think he is a crazy man, you know, by all the things what the mind thinks, because we just Don't put Krishna in their Marayanti. We are just so careless and so extremely foolish that we just imagine to record every thought you think, you know. Some of these thoughts are not even, you know, permissible for a 5-year-old child, you know. Hare Krishna. Too much, Vijayanayaka. Because we just don't absorb the mind in Krishna. And we think it's alright. No one sees it. What pretenders we are. How sad. Don't you think Krishna sees it? Don't you think the real devotees see it? How sad. How sad. How sad. Important now to put Krishna in the mind. Naam Smaran, remember the name, remember the pastimes of Krishna, be with good devotees, hear about Krishna, then you, Krishna will, if you start to only search Krishna a little, Krishna will search for you.
Yes.
Yes. And he will find you. He has very good candle. He will find you even if you hide in the darkness. But if you want, if Krishna sees you a little serious the search, he wants to put his lotus feet. First he puts his lotus feet a little bit in your heart, and the lotus feet will do all the work. They will melt your heart. But you need to come to the stage where you are serious, and for that, Trinadapi Sunichena Taro Iva Sahishnana. Be willing, be humble. Humble means a vision of the reality. No, don't be afraid of the reality. And then, it's so easy. See, it would be so difficult. I always describe that it's difficult because I want you to become serious. But when you just, out of seriousness, try a little, Krishna just wants to run to you. There was one devotee. I will end with this little story. It's a story they tell in Vrindavan. You know, there are many good devotees who give Bhagavad, who give different katas. So there was one, and he saw that, not a famous speaker, but a very good devotee, and he saw there was always a disheveled man with long hair, and so different, coming to his katha. Now the speaker, it only happened maybe a year ago, just recently. The speaker one day went out over the marketplace, and there he saw this person who came to hear in his lectures. He had a plate, a leaf plate, and was just eating, and there were dogs coming, and he was allowing the dogs to eat from the same plate, and when they are finished, he continued to eat. Now this is not very much respected, someone who does like this in Braj, by a Brahmin speaker. Now if the next time he saw this man was in one of his lectures, but then he went into Gopeshwar Mahadev, you know, the steps up, and this man was just coming down, and he was just curious, the speaker. Let us call him Radha Vinod, the speaker. It's certainly not Radha Vinod, but just this is the name which came to mind. Radha Vinod asked this man, just out of curiosity, "What is your name?" The man first didn't answer. He took simple cloth, and looked down full of dust. Yeah. But then he noticed, oh, Radha Vinod. And he said, my name is so and so. Oh, this is the name of a high class Brahmana. Yes, I was born in a Saraswati Brahmana family, the highest Brahmana family. Radha Vinod said, do you have some education? Yeah, yes, I have a degree, a master degree in science. What are you doing? You're eating with the dogs and you're behaving like this. And then this man said, I have to do this if I want to see Krishna. I have to be like this if I want to be with my Lord. If I'm puffed up about the so-called dream titles and money, yes, a lot of wealth is also there. If I keep these upadis, these coverings in my heart, these false things, this story, I will not be able to be with Krishna. I have to be. This man said. He was highly learned, you know, very educated, you could see. Then he cried. Yes, he is very good. Search for Krishna. Don't search for continuation of your story, your material story, your material life. Search for Krishna. Search for Him. And Radharani's blessings are there for you, that you will not be disappointed. You will find Him. Search for Krishna in His most merciful form, the holy names. Search for Krishna in remembering Krishna. Don't continue the lie. Search for Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Hare Krishna. Madhava. So, yes. I can imagine that some of you were feeling, Maharaj is a little on fire today. But I thought I would speak to you the way I am, coming from the vrata. See, when you do a vrata, it's a very serious journey. It's a very serious thing. It's even as physically exhausting, mentally. But you get so many realizations. This was not a heavy lecture. If I would preach to you what is in my heart, first of all, you would all fall asleep, because I know you. Whenever devotees hear Krishna Katha, they feel so relieved from all tension, and then they sleep. Not like that. I'm a little bit. No, but I wanted to say, there are many things which one doesn't talk about when one has been on a vrata, because one is afraid to share it with the public. But I wanted today to share something what I felt. One other realization was coming to me as a real gift, an unexpected gift. I did something. I read in the Bhagavatam during the Vrata. I obviously, you know me, I like very much Vaishnava literature, and I read many books like Gopal Champu came to me, and Krishna Kanamrita with the purport of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who's the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on. But I also wanted to read in the Bhagavatam, because, you know, we always say read Prabhupada's books, but if we don't do it at the most important time, I feel we are pretenders, you know. So I wanted to read in the Bhagavatam, and I found so many jewels. It was just amazing. I was thinking, read the Bhagavatam certainly a few times, but I was surprised to find out what was there. And then I read also in this book, do you know this unveiling his lotus feet? And there is a lecture of Prabhupada quoted, which became my mantra when I gave a lecture to the Radha Chopati devotees, the Radha Gopinath devotees, I wanted to say, sorry. then Radha Chopati, Radha Gopinath devotees, I told them I will teach you a new mantra. And then Radha Maharaj looked at me and I said, it's the same mantra I told you before. And there was this very, you know, I felt, if I want to approach Radha and Krishna, I really need a great devotee's recommendation. I felt that. I had read in Govardhan Pratanashtakam, is that the right way to say it? These 11 shlokas from Raghunath Das Goswami? Govardhan Pratanashtakam? Yeah, but there is this verse where Raghunath Das Goswami prays for shelter at Giriraj's feet, and in one of these verses, quite at the end, he says, if you think I'm too fallen to pray for this residence at your lotus feet, I want to say, I'm not praying for this on my own authority. It's because Sri Shachinandan Gaurahari, Lord Chaitanya has sent me here. So when we approach Krishna, we will be asked, who sent you? What is your qualification? This question will come. Don't worry. I mean, this question will come. Who sent you? Why do you think you can? See? And this is a little bit, many Vaishnavas in Pratana, Narottam Das Thakur says about this. So Prabhupada spoke about this. One should submit himself and actually feel, I'm worthless, my Lord. But by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, he said, I can now try to serve you and try to offer you something. I will make offenses. I'm offensive. 100%. But he has given me this opportunity, and I'm just trying to serve. Please don't take any of my offenses. Don't take this. I'm here on his behalf. I'm here on his permission. And then Prabhupada said, that mantra is enough. So I read that. And I had read in all these Vaishnava literature, all Vaishnavas expressing themselves that by the recommendation, I can actually do this, I can come this. So I was actually praying this mantra every time before before I chanted. And I felt it went so well afterwards. I think I got some, I mean, I'm shy, I should maybe not say, because I'm still very, you know, I'm what I am, not a very advanced devotee. But I felt I got some mercy because it went so well. I mean, I should not say, but it was, I mean, something was coming by the power of this. And I'm very grateful that I found this. And very grateful. This was another realization. Because when you do a vrata, you just come to a point where you know you can't go further on your own. You get mentally exhausted. You get, like Prabhupada said, it's not humanly possible to imitate Haridas Thakur. I guarantee everyone, any one of you, just try to chant 100, what? Around 92. You will, it's just not humanly possible. You can only do that by spiritual strength, you know. And I mean, I'm because I did also have some physical situation, but I don't want to speak about my number of rounds, but I felt actually some blessing. What? I'm no longer going on my own strengths, you know. And this is really when you are connecting with a superior devotee. It's really that's what I really realized. And obviously for me, that superior devotee is my exalted spiritual master. No, and I found that out as I studied the Bhagavatam, and you know, was really doing it. Help is there, Madhavi. Don't worry. Help is there. We just need to allow ourselves to take the help. Why not just go? Please take me. Why not be a little innocent? The reason why I look at Dayal Nitai is because he's my favorite devotee. It's not he is very no. Honestly, you know, I feel always great happiness to see you, Krishna. So now I should stop. Let me look at my wrist watch. Oh God, it's not so late. It's not so late. So let me see, there are maybe some devotees who wish to go. I will now have questions and answers, maybe any questions and answers you have. Did we bring we have some prasadam. I suggest we make a little pause now for where I just give you a little prasadam, and then those who feel they have to go may go, and we do also have some practical things to discuss, right?
Practical thing to discuss.
Someone should take this, someone that.
I have a bag that I can distribute. I just do not know if the gifts and things that you had.
Gifts, yes. Where is my gift bag? I have some gifts for you. You're right. Let me now make. How should we do?
Can distribute prasadam when you see the
I think we have had so much intense time, and I just want to give you this bang. Don't worry, it will take its effect on your heart, because when someone speaks from his heart after vrata, he will at one stage touch your heart. I believe that has happened. So the surgeon can now put his instruments away. I put it away. What I have said will do its work. You will think of me. I will be in your head a few weeks afterwards. You will see. Oops. Hare Krishna. So we brought. So this is what we are going to do. We just stay and associate here. You can ask questions to me individually, personally, and so on. I will now distribute prasadam, and we can just stay here and associate a little bit. This is a good idea, isn't it?